Today on Real Radio.
Isaiah 53, you can read the entire chapter, but it says this in verse 3. He was despised. This is written 743 years, my friends, before Mary had a little lamb named Jesus in Bethlehem.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. We're hearing a mini-series that focuses on what is sometimes referred to as deicide, the killing of the divine Messiah. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more in this series called When God Prepares to Die.
The Bible says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." We are to partake of communion. Every first Wednesday of the month, we have communion here. Well, why don't you do it on Sundays? Honestly, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, among other places, communion is only for the believer. I would be terribly responsible if I had a mass gathering of people on a Sunday morning who come in and out of this place, who are all kinds of walks of life, walks of faith, who don't believe in Jesus, and we pass the elements. The Bible commands us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 or 2 Corinthians 11 that we are not to do such things. It's to be believers only. There are a few things in the Christian faith that's exclusive to believers only. Communion is one of those great things. Communion, believers only, and baptism, believers only. Think of that. That's why we don't have communion on Sunday mornings. There are people here who don't know the Lord. Now come Wednesday nights, and we reduce greatly the chance of inadvertently communicating to somebody, "Hey, I just ate the cookie and drank the cup. I'm going to heaven, I guess." Oh my, no. That's not how that works. A very important thing. Jesus makes this appeal to our minds. He says, "Remember me." To train your mind to think God-like thoughts. You say, "Jack, how in the world can I think God-like thoughts?" That's what this book is for, you guys. Immerse yourself in the Bible, and you'll start thinking God-like thoughts. What are those thoughts? Thoughts of compassion, mercy, tenderness, grace, forgiveness. God-like thoughts. The Bible tells us in Matthew 22, 37, Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind," having God-like thoughts. Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." You guys have to admit, we have to admit that when we remember Jesus, if we're doing something we ought not to be doing in our minds, think on Jesus, that his face is sticking through the sunroof when we are all upset at that guy in front of us on the 57 freeway. Or you're on your computer and this pop-up thing pops up on your computer, and you're immediately faced with a decision instantly to obey Christ or not. Is that not true? To obey Christ or not. Now, I'm certainly thinking about a certain area. Women are not so much, but men, you know what I'm talking about? When this pop-up thing comes up, and there's a sale at Victoria's Secret, and it's got this girl half-dressed on the pop-up thing. Kill it. Hit that thing and put it away. Why? Think God-like thoughts. How are you going to be strong against those things? Let this be in you. The Word of God. Now, ladies, it's not so much that for you, but Nordstrom's sale. Nordstrom's pops up on your screen. And you've got to deal with that. That's a big deal. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, the Bible says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? You guys don't know the answer to that? Are you guys here? The answer is no. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his instructor? Nobody. I know we've tried, huh? "Hey, God, I'm going to tell you how to do this." "Okay, God, this is what I want you to do in my life." No. Who's known the mind of the Lord? Nobody. It's impossible. But the very next statement is this: "But we have the mind of Christ." Isn't that awesome? See, Jack, are you kidding me? Are you a Christian? Then listen, you have the mind of Christ, which is, by the way, strengthened, nurtured, increased, built up, energized, empowered by the more you ingest his Bible. The Bible is the very thoughts of God. This Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that it's living and breathing. Amazing and awesome. I'm going to give you three references. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, this is where the Christian mind strives. If you're a Christian today, you know what I'm talking about. Your mind strives for this. Think of whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. Well, that rules out daytime TV. Whatever things are of good report, that rules out the news. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. What builds you up? Church, listen. God has taken me to the woodshed on that verse this week. And I'm not going to get emotional about it. I am strong. I'm an island and I'm a rock and an island. Forget that. Okay, I'm just joking with you right now. God so took me to the woodshed this week and beat this into my heart. Jack, from now on, out of your mouth, when you talk with people, based upon this verse, time is short. And I want my son to look so attractive to everybody you come in contact with. Believer or non-believer, God made it clear, I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. When you speak, you let words come out of your mouth that are praiseworthy words, even to the most nasty, mean, ugly non-believer who wants to just beat us up. Speak to them things that make Jesus look attractive to them. They may not fall down and say, man, where did I change my mind? Jesus is so attractive to me. When you speak, I want him. That may or may not happen. But when you walk away from that encounter with that person, let them know that they have encountered somebody different. Because you know what? You know what different is? Different is not me or you and I doing something different to be different. A lot of people will do this shock thing in the world. It's sad because it's invaded churches. Let's shock the people. Let's do this. No. You want to absolutely blow people's minds? You and I need to decrease and let Jesus increase. And he's waiting with anticipation, excitement, desire. He's saying, Susie, Mary, Mike, John, I want to live my life through you. Let me do it. Let go. That's what the Lord has been saying to me this week. Jack, let go and love with your mouth. Speak to people, lifting them up. Now, it's kind of hard when some non-believer's kicking the dog and he's drunk and stabbing, you know, his goldfish or whatever he's doing. It's kind of hard to lift somebody up like that. But God will provide the moment. You are going to leave this church today. I'm hoping anyway. You leave this church today saying, you know what, that's it. Jesus desired to be with his disciples. He desires to be with me. He speaks words of life into them. And that's what I'm going to start doing. I am going to think on those things that are praiseworthy. And I'm going to start speaking to people like that. Imagine what will happen if some of us or all of us in this room get encouraged. What if we encourage each other? Just by saying, by the way, how you doing? Hey, no more of this. No more of this stuff. Are you okay? Guys, do you know what that does to people's heads? Are you all right? Now you've messed that person up for the whole day. Yeah, I feel fine. Why? What's the deal? Oh, I don't know. You've messed them up. Why say such a thing? Are you all right? You can ask them, how's it going? Let them share with you or not. But don't walk around. It's so simple as that. Oh, how are you doing? I mean, it feels like you have an elephant hanging off your face. Or a booger or something. Why? Speak words that are like, hey, you know what? How you doing today? What's up? What's God doing in your life? Let's go do this together. Whatever it is, I don't know. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, that's changing, by the renewing of your mind. By the way, that word renewing is recreating your mind. And then third and final point is this, verses 20 to 23. When God prepares to die, he does what only he can do. And that is he unveils the new covenant for all mankind. You guys pay attention. I got to go fast. And this is the part I was waiting to get to. Verse 20, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. The new covenant. Pause right there for a moment. The new covenant, the New Testament. Listen, the new covenant, in all theological accuracy, it's new to the hearing and the revelation and fulfillment. Church, get that. It's new to the hearing, to the revelation, and to the fulfillment 2,000 years ago of the world. It is the New Testament. It is the new covenant. But it is anything but new according to the Bible. Did you know that? See, what are you talking about? It's new on arrival. It's not new in God's mind. It's new on coming or revelation, but it's not new in God's eternal word, the New Testament. In fact, this may sound strange to you, and I think, though, if you take up this challenge and go judge for yourself, you'll see what I'm referring to. I believe that when you look at the man Abraham, he had no Bible, you know. Abraham didn't even know who God was. Let's be honest. Abraham lived where? In Ur of the Chaldees. Church, Abraham had no law. This is before Moses. Abraham was not circumcised till much later. God speaks to Abraham, a pagan worshiping Gentile. Who? Abraham. Uncircumcised, uneducated, Chaldean. Calls him out of Ur of the Chaldees, speaks to him and says, I'm going to show you a place. Abraham says, okay. And he starts following this God that trumped all the other gods of ancient Babylonianism that had spread to that region of the world. Think about this. This is radical. You've got a guy who doesn't know anything about the law, no Ten Commandments, no Moses, no Mount Sinai, no circumcision. He's following God. And God says, you're my friend. All by grace. All by the grace of God. Do you see how you cannot earn your way into heaven? What is in your heart? Is it to love God? And he's following God. And he's faithful too, because Sarah goes, where are we going? He goes, I don't know. Can you imagine? Hebrews 11:8 says, and Abraham followed God, not knowing where he was going. That's a, by the way, Sarah's an awesome woman to follow some man who doesn't know where she's going. But where are we going? I don't know. Follow me. Why should I follow you? Can you imagine? Why should I follow you? God spoke to me. Oh, he did. Amazing. What about King David? David didn't have the New Testament. David had a New Testament relationship with God that most of us long for. Think about it. David has no problem with his men eating the showbread that was reserved for the priest. David understood that's just a shadow of what's coming. Wow. Okay, listen, we got to get this down. Jeremiah 31:31. Amazing. Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what that means? God is saying, I am going to be done with the law someday that I'll give to Moses. Overdone. I'm going to start afresh. First with my people Israel. That's 2,000 years ago that new covenant was brought to them. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. That, by the way, is a reference, you guys, after those days, meaning the last days, the end times, the days that are right now about to spring upon us. saith the Lord. Listen to this. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You guys, do you hear anything about religion in that? It's all about personal relationship with God, the new covenant. Ezekiel 36, 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit, lowercase s, mind you, that's you inside, a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36, 27, I will put my spirit, capital S, the born again experience right there in your Old Testament. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Ladies and gentlemen, church, act excited, please. When you can try to be religious all your life and be frustrated constantly, and you'll think this way all the time. I blew this, I blew that, thou shalt not, oh man, oh God, being a believer is really heavy duty. Then you get saved, born again. The Spirit of God moves inside you, and the Spirit of God by his grace empowers you to stand up and say, you know what, I get to follow God now. And when I fall down, his grace picks me up and his forgiveness restores me, and I get to walk with him every day, day in, day out. I walk in the light as he is in the light. I have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses me from all sin. That's the life of the believer. It's what Abraham knew. It's what David knew. Do you know this? It's amazing. It's awesome. Ezekiel 37, 14, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. He spoke to Israel. God's new covenant is with mankind based upon Christ going to the cross, God inside us. And so he took this cup, the new cup, very quickly, church. You got to, oh, it's late. I can't, oh dear. I'm going anyway. I'm going for it. Write it down. We're going to go fast. You guys, when Jesus picked up the cups, there's four cups to the Seder dinner. There's four cups to the Passover meal. Okay, cup number one. This is the cup of sanctification found in Exodus 6:13. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a command for the children of Israel to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Israel was being sanctified, and that's celebrated in the first cup of the four cups. Jesus would have had those four cups there. It says he took this cup is the new covenant. So the cups are there. Cup number one is the cup of sanctification. You ought to jot it down. Cup number two was the cup of judgment. Jesus skipped over that cup. He didn't take that cup up. More on that in the next few weeks. I'll give you a hint. He's going to pick up the cup. It starts in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember when he says, Father, if it's possible, remove this? What? Yeah, remove this cup from me. The cup of judgment. Cup number three was the cup of redemption, which Jesus gave to them right now here in our scripture. They will partake of it, but he will not drink of it. Why? Number one, he doesn't need to be redeemed. Number two, he's the redeemer. He doesn't drink of it. They all drink of it. He doesn't. Keep going. Cup number four was the cup of blessing. Jesus is speaking, this cup, the cup of celebration, the cup of blessing, they partook of. Jesus will partake of when we're with him. But I say to you, Matthew 26, 29, but I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the day comes when we drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Is that not exciting? And then he goes on to say, in my blood, which is shed for you. What he does, only he could do, my friend. And Jesus saves you by his blood. You guys, there's no greater story. There's no greater message. There's no greater hope than this. The Bible says, by the way, do you understand that nobody has this message in their hearts but you only? I say you Christians around the world that are listening right now. No one else. No one else. Our Muslim friends, no. Our Mormon friends, no, they don't have it. Our Jehovah's Witness friends, they don't have it. Our Buddhist friends don't have this. Ask them, do you have, and are you covered by the blood of Christ? Are your sins forgiven? Oh, no, 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 no. They'll say, no, 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 that's. We are so free, and we are like birds in a cage. It's amazing. Romans 5, 9 says, much more then now, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. By his blood, justified. Ephesians 2:13, But now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:20, by him he reconciled all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, he's made peace through the blood of his cross. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 10:19, we have entrance into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 13:20, we have peace through God. We have peace through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Last consideration, verse 21 to 23. He offers himself as a willing sacrifice. Behold, he says, the hand of my betrayer is with me at the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as is determined of him. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. I'm going to end with this final verse, but it's a big one. Isaiah 53, you can read the entire chapter, but it says this in verse 3. He was despised. This is written 743 years, my friends, before Mary had a little lamb named Jesus in Bethlehem. Before he was born, the prophet said, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. This is the Passover. This is who he is. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus is the Passover. He was oppressed and was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb, Passover lamb that is, to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 8 says, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you, that's the Lord, make his soul an offering for sin.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio, citing the prophecy of the divine Messiah becoming an asham, a guilt offering or sin offering for us. In fact, this concludes this series within a series called When God Prepares to Die, part of our verse-by-verse march through Luke's New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you haven't visited realradioactive.org lately, well, there's a new feature that we're excited to have launched. And when I say we, that includes Pastor Jack, who's here to tell us more about it. Pastor Jack?
Well, thank you, Mike. I am excited about what we are launching right here on Real Radio, and that is really a brand new chapter in our experience with our listeners, and that is a devotional. It's entitled The Words to the Wise, and it's based upon Proverbs 22, verse 17, where it says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. And I can't think of any greater knowledge than the knowledge of God. And that knowledge that the Lord has for us, he imparts into our lives by our daily experiences. And it's personally written. These are thoughts and experiences from my heart, and I believe that they are personal, and yet they're biblically based. It's how God is speaking to me. And so I'm going to be sharing these with you, and I think maybe together that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as we continue on and encourage one another in our Christian experience. You can simply sign up at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And we are offering now The Words to the Wise, a devotional, something from my heart, I pray, to yours. So God bless you as we continue on together.
Okay, so again, that's realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.